How Curious, sponsored by Oklahoma City Community Foundation.
People come to the Oklahoma City Community Foundation because they care about this community. They want a bright future for this region. And they come to the Oklahoma City Community Foundation because they know we can help make that happen.
Together, we can build a stronger, more supportive community for everyone. If you want to make a difference, join us. Your Oklahoma City Community Foundation will help you make it happen.
Hello, welcome to KGOU's How Curious. I'm Rachel Hopkin.
I will have the chicken in the rough, half.
I'm with How Curious managing editor Logan Layden, and we're at Beverly's Pancake House in Oklahoma City. This is the last bastion in Oklahoma of a one-time Sooner State menu item sensation that was once franchised across the nation. It was born, so to speak, on Route 66, and according to the Pancake House manager, Candy Barr, people order it
a lot. Like, I'd say at least 45% of our customers that come in every day. It's because it's hand-breaded and made on the spot. Okay. It's not pre-made at all. It's like your grandma's fried chicken.
Okay. Logan, did your grandmother fry chicken?
She did, in fact, yes. And was obviously great at it. I'm interested to see how this stacks up.
Chicken in the rough is a meal.
Kathy Anderson is a Route 66 historian who's recently written about Chicken in the Rough.
It is not a restaurant chain. It is a specific menu item. It is five pieces of chicken from half a chicken. It has shoestring French fried potatoes on top. It's served with two rolls or biscuits, honey. There's a little finger bowl that you can wash your fingers with afterwards. And it's served on a platter that uses the trademark logo.
We'll come to the logo in a minute.
Today, most people don't know about Chicken in the Rough. But there was a time when there were many Beverly restaurants that served that menu item of Chicken in the Rough. Plus, Chicken in the Rough itself was franchised to like 38 states, over 300 locations in its peak, and several foreign countries.
It all began with a man by the name of Beverly Osborne, who was born in 1896.
He was dirt poor. I mean, he lived in a half dugout in sand dunes in Indian Territory in southeastern Oklahoma, and he was always hungry. As an adult, he wasn't much taller than 5'5". And I would have to think part of that was malnutrition when he was growing up. But he had a drive for business, for success. There's an anecdote where he's shining shoes for a banker. So the banker's asking the kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And blah, blah, blah. I want to do this. I want to do that.
You can imagine their answers. Perhaps I want to be a pilot or I want to be a race car driver.
And he looked at Beverly and Beverly said, I want to be a millionaire. I can do all those other things if I have the money. I mean, you know, his goal was set at a very early age.
In 1917, Beverly married a young woman named Ruby. The couple set their sights on getting into business in Oklahoma City. Their initial venture, a drugstore, only lasted a few months, but then they opened a waffle shop and gradually added more locations. Still, Beverly had an eye for the main chance and wanted to branch out into a different kind of eatery, something more upscale and exotic. Years later, Ruby recalled what happened next in her diary.
Beverly began to scout around for new locations, where the spot at 2429 North Lincoln loomed up to foretell possibilities. So, after investigating what amount was available, the price, etc., one day early in 1936, he approached me with a 10-year lease to sign for $60,000. It would be impossible for me to explain the feeling I had as he told me to sign it. It actually upset me so much, and I was so afraid that I got so deathly sick, I actually vomited. He often tells this on me, but nerve is all we had to offer as security.
Despite Ruby's anxiety, they did sign the lease on the North Lincoln location. Here's Kathy Anderson again.
It was north of the state capitol, and there was nothing out there except oil wells and an occasional gas station. I mean, it was like a desert. But Lincoln Boulevard was Route 66. Why he thought Lincoln would be a great idea, I have no idea. They were having to build from scratch. And then he and his wife and the managers at the other hotel where they had a restaurant decided to take a trip out to California to find just something extra special to bring back to Oklahoma and kind of make their statement, bring something really special to Oklahoma City.
But although they were off to explore culinary California for inspiration, inspiration actually hit before they got there, on the Texas part of Route 66, in fact. Many years later, Beverly Osborne recalled what happened. His words are here read by an actor.
In 1936, with rather small capital, we started a modern drive-in one block north of the State Capitol building. After laying the foundation, my assistant manager and his wife, Mrs. Osborne, and I started on a vacation trip. We were looking for ideas that might be utilized in our new drive-in. Well, we literally bumped onto the biggest idea we've ever had. Driving in Amarillo, Texas, and eating chicken out of a basket, the car hit a rough spot, throwing the chicken out of our laps onto the floorboard of the car. Mrs. Osborne then wisecracked, "This is chicken in the rough."
And there was something about that phrase that just struck everyone in the car, and they mulled over that phrase all the way out to California and all the way back. And they had decided that that phrase would mean served without silverware.
Bear in mind, this was a time when eating chicken with your fingers was absolutely not the done thing. One etiquette guide of the era, for example, described doing so as a barbarous practice. But the Osbornes were undaunted. The shiny new drive-in restaurant opened in September 1936. Ruby later recalled the reaction to chicken in the rough.
It literally took Oklahoma by storm. People were calling in, coming in from all over the state just to see and learn what it was all about. We had them ask what in the world it was. Was the chicken served with feathers on? Do we have to pick our own chicken? Do we have to fry it and serve ourselves? By now, we decided we had done something to make them curious, and in doing so would naturally make them beat a path to our door. We had taken such a chance on going out into a territory where there were no restaurants at all, and we wondered if we could get people out that far from town. But from that first opening day, it began to prove a success.
And that success got Beverly Osborne's entrepreneurial mind whirring. He had a striking logo created. It shows a rooster decked out as a golfer and apparently rather frustrated in his attempts to hit a ball that's fallen into the rough. Osborne was also interested in making the cooking process unique.
He worked with a local manufacturer, and they figured out a special griddle, grill, steamer, whatever, and he had it patented. And it was that patented item that gave Chicken in the Rough its distinctive flavor.
It wasn't just the griddle item that he sought to retain control over. He also had the special Chicken in the Rough crockery, glassware, and other related items, as well as the meal itself, trademarked. Then he started to advertise the menu item plus its accessories as being available to franchise.
As far as anyone knows, Chicken in the Rough is the first franchised food item. The idea of this menu item meant any restaurant that met the criteria the Osbornes laid out could franchise this menu item. It would be supplemented by a direct mail campaign with postcards, so people would know what was going on. I have seen newspaper ads from, let's say, a new restaurant would open up and they decide to have Chicken in the Rough. It's a full page ad. It's a big deal. And it's, we have Chicken in the Rough. I mean, people knew about Chicken in the Rough. And it became a household, or pretty close to a household name.
This was on Lincoln. See, that's their flagship store.
John Dunning of OKC's Trolley Stop Records has been collecting Chicken in the Rough memorabilia for decades. He's showing me some of the postcards in his collection.
This is probably about 1960, 58. See the restaurant?
Yes.
There's the Capitol. This is Route 66.
Okay.
So when I was little, we used to eat there.
Right.
And it was a really cool place.
Inside. Why? What was so cool about it?
Well, just the atmosphere, the architecture, and, you know, there were pictures of Beverly and, you know, Chicken in the Rough. You know, the guy with the the golf club.
John's talking about the Rooster logo.
Can you remember what it was about the decor that really appealed to you?
Well, it was rock and wood, old wood, beaded type panel, old timey. It was just, big open A-frame ceilings, and it was just always full of people and just a hubbub, And you walk kind of down, and they had these little windows along this kind of walkway, and they were lit up, and they'd have dioramas of that chicken playing golf and things, and it just appealed to a kid. But I guess it appealed to adults too, because it was very famous. But a lot of movie stars ate there, Bob Hope and just all kinds of people.
John also showed me some images of Beverly Osborne himself, including at the home the Osbournes shared, which was also on Route 66.
Here he is. He had beehives out at that house.
Oh, yeah. Somebody told me that.
See, they had these little jars with honey, like little big creamer jars. And so he supplied his own honey. So, he was always thinking, always doing. Here he is by the chicken in the rough airplane.
Oh, yeah. Let me take a picture of that.
I love that.
That's amazing.
Apparently, he had several chicken in the rough airplanes. After all, he was probably a millionaire by this stage. You can see photos of some of the memorabilia on this episode's webpage. Just search for KGOU and How Curious. One of the items is a chicken in the rough placemat, which shows scores of franchise locations. At its height, the dish was being served in around 370 eateries across the US, plus, as Kathy Anderson mentioned earlier, several foreign countries. But eventually the bubble burst.
In the 1970s, the kitchen cleanliness codes changed, and the special griddle no longer met code. That just threw everything into a frenzy, because how are we going to make this signature dish if we can't cook it the way it's designed to be cooked? And it took them several years to figure it out, but it clearly took a hit.
In time, the Osbournes let go of the rights. There is still a Chicken in the Rough website which lists just four places you can eat it, not counting the remaining Beverly's establishment in Oklahoma City, Beverly's Pancake House, which has long since passed out of Osborne ownership. The walls of the place are plastered with Chicken in the Rough iconography and info, which How Curious managing editor Logan Layden and I enjoyed perusing while we waited for his Chicken in the Rough. We had to be patient, as it's prepared on the spot, but eventually...
Something's heading it our way.
Oh my goodness, look at this now.
Well, look at that. Thank you.
Looks great. Thank you.
It looks huge.
Yeah, I'll be asking for a to-go box here shortly.
Let me just take a picture of you.
Absolutely. It smells great.
It does smell good, actually.
The feast of a meal wasn't prepared quite like the chicken in the rough of yore. For example, there was no honey and no finger bucket, but the moment of truth had arrived.
The breading looks amazing. The smell is awesome. Let's see how it tastes. It's wonderful. Well, it's juicy. That's a great flavor on the crust.
Is it really good?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I would not lie about fried chicken. I'm very serious about fried chicken.
Thanks to Logan and to all of the contributors to today's episode, including readers James Briggs and Stephanie Royce. How Curious is a KGOU public radio production. The managing editor is Logan Layden. David Gray composed our theme music, and I'm Rachel Hopkin. As always, if you have an idea for a future episode, we'd love to hear about it. So drop us a line at curious@kgou.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.